Last Voyage, written by Hammond Innes and read by Stephen Thorne.
This diary of Captain Cook's voyage in search of the Northwest Passage was written as a labour of love to celebrate the bicentenary of the great navigator's death. For years, Hammond Innes had gone out of his way on his travels to follow Cook in the remoter parts of the world. And sailing his own boats, thinking about those journals which are the impersonal records of a serving naval officer, he gradually became convinced that the only way to reveal the nature of Cook was to write the story of that last voyage as Cook might have written it, had he been keeping a personal and private record of his own. Part 1. A Year in England. Chapter 1. Start of the Voyage. Monday, July the 22nd, 1776. Having had a day of calm weather now after the strong gale at south which forced me to stand to the westward, I have an opportunity to begin this personal history, or diary, of the voyage on which we are embarked. The logbook of my last voyage closed with the words, "Having been absent from England 3 years and 18 days, in which time I lost but 4 men, and only one of them by sickness." In circumnavigating the globe in those cold southern seas, and thereby disproving the presence of any great continent of land there, I thought I had been as far as a man may go. But now that I'm away in search of the Northwest Passage, the which may well prove as elusive as that terra incognita of which men like Alexander Dalrymple dreamed, I fear I may be forced to go further than ever before. Pray God that it will not take so many years, and that at the end of it I may report as few men lost. Much of my time since we sailed from Plymouth on the 12th of July has been devoted to this end, for with the Navy committed to the disagreeable task of convoying troops to America, the men are not of the best, and know little about how to look after themselves. Indeed, I've only just come from an inspection of the ship and its livestock, the which I could not do during the gale, and having ordered the smoking of all parts below deck and the scrubbing of tables and other flat surfaces with vinegar and gunpowder, I took this opportunity of demonstrating to Mr. Bligh, the master, and some others who have not sailed with me before, my customary routine of hygiene aboard ship, and the methods I have ordinarily used to prevent disease among the men. We are altogether 113 souls on the Resolution, including myself and 4 officers, Mr. Webber the painter, and Omai, a native of Otaheite. Also the livestock, which is more numerous than on either of the 2 previous voyages. During the month we were at Deptford, due to delays in the fitting out and storing of the ships, we had 30 desertions, all of which we have replaced. Fortunately, I have with me on the 2 ships 12.5 men who have sailed with me before, 6 of them on both voyages, who thus have over 6 years' service with me in the oceans, so that here, on board the Resolution, there has been no repetition of the difficulties experienced on the first voyage, in persuading the people to a diet of portable soup, onions and fresh vegetables at regular intervals. We were off Ushant on July the 17th and 18th, and are now almost across the bay, approaching Cape Finisterre. I intend putting into Tenerife instead of Madeira, it having been discovered that there is not a sufficiency of hay and corn on board for the animals to last us to the Cape, and thinking to be better supplied at Tenerife. Thence we shall make for the Cape by way of the Cape Verde Islands. I'm not a little concerned about Captain Clark, the 1 officer who has sailed with me on both previous voyages. He guaranteed the debts of his brother, Sir John Clark, and on that gentleman's sailing off to the East Indies has been committed to the King's Bench Prison.